Oh man, what a night already. I don't know how I go on, but let's try. Let's start with the word that's going to encourage us in faith. John 10:10, got to be one of my very favorite scriptures. John 10:10 says this: the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. This is exciting news. This is exciting news. Jesus came for a wonderful cause, that you might have life and more abundantly. More abundantly. Think about that. The most important person in existence came to this earth to destroy the works of the enemy, the one who is fighting against you. He came to destroy his works and to give us abundant life. Now that is good news. Amen. That is good news. And yet, this world is full of unhappy and dissatisfied people. I mean, people, just look around. Not in this room, but elsewhere. People everywhere are unhappy. They are unfulfilled. They're looking for answers to the emptiness that they feel inside, and they'll try literally anything, anything, if it might bring them some sort of satisfaction or happiness. That's why there's so much divorce. That's why suicide is becoming more and more prevalent. Drug dependency, alcohol abuse, criminal behavior, prostitution, sexual promiscuity, sexual deviancy, depression and eating disorders and emotional and psychological disorders. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. Let's face it, people are messed up. So what's the solution? Materialism and wealth? Pleasure and enjoyment? Power, status, prestige? Some new found religion? I tell you, it's not hard to find a lot of people who are espousing a lot of different ways to happiness. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, and the end of it is the way of death. So there is an answer to this eternal question of how do I find happiness and satisfaction in life. And Jesus stated it here in John 10:10 with the purpose that he came. He said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now tonight I want to explore what Jesus meant when he said that we can have life more abundantly. I mean, I want to be an abundant lifer. I hope you want to be an abundant lifer, but of course we have to answer the question, what is it to be an abundant lifer? How do you become one? Let's find out. Father, I thank you for this evening and for just the wonderful time that we've had in the spirit of worship and prayer. And now, Lord, we come to the Word. And with your Spirit anointing this time, we will gain. We will receive. We open our hearts. We open our minds to what you have for us tonight. And Lord, I pray that as this word goes forth, it finds fertile soil, that it will grow, that it will produce fruit, that it will bring abundance of life, not just here, but around this community, around this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, by the way, you know, I probably should say, Sarah says hi. Kind of got wrapped up with all that was going on here. Sarah is doing, as you know, she's having some trials and tribulations, but she is doing very well. She is probably watching tonight. She should be. And she is just growing stronger, and she's, you know, able to receive visitors now. We're kind of limiting that time span, but you know, if you've got a desire to come out, just say hi and we'll call me and we'll work out a time that works good. But she is doing great, and we thank you so much for all of the support, all of the cards and letters and every other way that you guys have helped us, and certainly most of all for the prayer. Just keep praying. We need it. We need it. All right, let's get back to the message. The abundant life. That word abundant, it's not that difficult. It simply means fully sufficient. It means plentiful. It means a copious supply, an abundance in great quantity, richly supplied. So if we want to apply that word to life, well, that would mean a life that is complete, that's not lacking in anything, a life that it has all of the essentials, that is rich and full. I'm in favor of that. Amen. That's what I'm shooting for. Now, it would imply a life of success, having a life of abundant quality and abundant quantity. The good news is that not only did Jesus come to save us from our sin, but he came that we might have abundant life. You can't separate the two. He has brought to this earth for those who will believe abundant life. And it's like a second blessing, really. I mean, not only do you get eternal life, but you get an abundant life here. Hallelujah. Now, I'm convinced the reason that so many Christians are not living this life to the full is because, well, number one, they don't know what abundant life is. And number two, if they have an inkling of what abundant life is, they're not quite sure how to gain it or even how to maintain it. Sadly, a lot of Christians, I think, don't really even believe that the abundant life is truly available. There's this concept that we just have to muddle through life and maybe cope until Jesus comes back or until we go to him. Jesus said he came so that we might have life abundantly. And that tells me that God desires his children to live a full life of joy, of peace, and a genuine relationship with a loving God. Now, I'm all for that. And I'm here to tell you, through Jesus, abundant life is available to you. Do this. To me. This abundant life is available to me. To me. It can be had because Jesus came. And he said, you could have it. He desires that you would have it, that you would be an abundant lifer. That's what I call this message, the abundant lifer. Settle in your own mind right now. There really is an abundant life. There really is an abundant life. It does exist. Let me tell you about it. Abundant living is a life that's filled with the things that are good and things that are good for you. People who enjoy the abundant life are going to possess increasing levels of these very familiar qualities. And I made up a long list here. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, compassion, purity, humility, modesty, faith, character, wisdom, optimism, dignity, confidence, honesty, and that meaningful life with God. That sounds like an abundant life to me. If you have those things working in your life, wouldn't that be great? That'd be a wonderful life. Now, did you notice that all of those things that are a part, that are qualities of the abundant life, they're all things that can't be bought with money. Amen. No matter how much money you have, you cannot buy more patience. You can't buy self-control. Certainly, you can't buy salvation. The local hardware store does not sell wisdom. They don't sell hope. They sell a lot of things, a lot of good things, but not those things. You get those things from God who is the giver of all good things. You know, the Bible says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change. But the Bible also says, oftentimes you have not because you ask not. See, oftentimes we're trying to fill our lives with all of those good things, and we're trying to do it apart from God. An abundant lifer chooses those good things and rejects the bad. Amen. Oh yeah, you have to reject a bunch of stuff if you're going to live the abundant life. Everyone who seriously seeks the abundant life avoids these kind of things: selfishness, hatred, lust, unforgiveness, envy, jealousy, fear, drunkenness, sexual immorality, senseless arguments. Let me say that again. Senseless arguments. I don't know about you, but I'm slapping my hand all the time. I'm on Facebook because I spend time there putting my photographs up so that people can see them and hopefully buy them. And so, you know, I'm doing a lot of stuff that way. And every now and then I'll see something flash by on the screen. It's like, oh, I just gotta. And I go, nope, not touching it. Don't care. I'm only here for the photography. Let all of that stuff do its own thing. You don't want to be a part of senseless arguments. You don't want to be having fits of rage. You don't want to be dishonest. You don't want to be greedy. You don't want to be gossiping. You don't want to be slandering. You don't want to be pessimistic. You don't want to be living a life of despair. All of those things have nothing to do with the abundant life. Amen. Nothing good or godly comes from those qualities. Amen. The more that those negative qualities are a part of our behavior, the farther we are drifting away from the abundant life. I want to be an abundant lifer. Amen. What's the other side? You know, I want to be an abundant lifer. I don't want to be a loser. How's that? Hey, I don't know. But it's one or the other, I think. And yes, by the power of God, by the grace of God, we can remove all of those negative characteristics from our life. You know, I account myself to be a faith preacher. This isn't really one of those wild, crazy-eyed faith messages, except for the fact that if you don't believe this stuff, it's going to be tough for you. If you don't believe that you can eliminate all of those negative things by the grace and the power of God, well, you need a little influx of faith. Amen. You need more faith. You need more of the Word, right? Amen. More of the Word. Because this is a walk of faith. This is the fight of faith. All of those negative things that drag you away from the abundant life of God can be dealt with. I mean, remember, at one time, the people of Corinth, they lived a life of wickedness and evil. But then Jesus came into their lives. Jesus was introduced to them. And those people, by the power and by the grace of God, they were able to free themselves from all of that immoral stuff and went on to live godly lives. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul wrote about them. He said, "And such were some of you," talking about the past sins, "but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." If the Corinthians were able to get free from all of their destructive behaviors by the grace of God, so can you. Yes. Do you have faith for that? Will you have faith for that? Don't you know, come up with a lame excuse as, well, you know, this is just who I am. I can't change that. You have to accept me for the way I am. Well, no, we don't. We're not going to. We're going to encourage you to work on that, to let the Spirit help you overcome those things that are bringing destruction and death into your life, that's harming other people. You know, people who are living the abundant life, they don't walk around all ready to explode over every least little thing. Everybody can be set free from their personal weaknesses. And that's where you ought to say, amen, hallelujah, I receive it. We can be set free. Things that cause pain and things that cause embarrassment to ourselves and to others, we can overcome those by the power of God, by His grace working in our lives by faith. See, it's a faith message. Everybody can be set free. That's just one of the benefits of living the abundant life. But make no mistake about it. The abundant life is found in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. It's by faith in Jesus. It's by His saving grace. It's His work in our life that takes us there, that provides that abundant life. Now, I know you're thinking, I know some Christians who aren't living that way, but I know some other people who aren't Christians who seem to be having a pretty good life. They seem to be experiencing happiness and satisfaction in their lives. And you'll see non-believers who seem to have a bit of success in their lives. Why? I bet it's because they practice those qualities that exemplify the abundant life that I mentioned before. They're the kind of people who are patient. They're the kind of people who walk in integrity. They're the kind of people who show kindness to others. They also avoid many of the things that destroy the abundant life. Things like despair and pessimism and sexual immorality and substance abuse and greed. Those are the people that, though they are not Christians, you can look to them and go, wow, they're good people. Yeah. They're good. I know some good people who are not Christians. I know even in this you know, latest experience that Sarah and I are going through, there are some good people I know are not Christians, would not share our faith for a moment, but yet they show kindness and they show compassion. They are caring people and they're doing things or wanting to do things to help us. They're good people. However, Jesus said that unless we believe in Him, we're all going to die in our sins. You see, it's important to remember that no matter how much happiness a non-Christian might experience, no matter how much satisfaction they gain in their life from doing the right things, ultimately it's all going to end. Ultimately, their life will come to a drastic halt, and the experience that they had is limited. It's limited in quality, and it really is only a temporary solution. The facts are, anyone without the saving grace of Jesus Christ is spiritually dead. And come on, a person cannot live the abundant life if they are spiritually dead. The Bible says, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. This is in Ephesians 2:4. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead. If you're in Christ, the abundant life is waiting for you. For you. God's inviting you to experience an abundant life. The Bible says, the living God gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. Did you catch that? God, His desire is for His children to discover happiness and satisfaction in this life. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always, right? Philippians 4:4. I think that'd be a good commandment for us to follow through on. Amen. But you know, a lot of Christians are missing out. They're missing out on that abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus didn't say, I came so some might have abundant life. No, all believers are invited to the abundant life. You are invited to be an abundant lifer. I want to be there. I am there. What am I saying? I am there. All believers are invited. And let me say this. It doesn't matter what your circumstances in life are. See, one of the reasons many Christians have a hard time with this concept is they assume that the abundant life depends on circumstances or fate or luck or their bank account or their status in life. They often think that it depends on their health. And no doubt these things are extremely important in our lives. And I just say, may you be blessed with abundance in all of those areas. But wealth and power and status and worldly pleasure have nothing to do with living the abundant life. You see, I think a great deal of our problem with being abundant lifers is we have a misconception of what the abundant life is, how it's supposed to work. Let me share a little story with you. A guy by the name of Zig Ziglar, you may have heard of him. He was a Christian motivational speaker and an author, and he wrote a book really that speaks about the unique qualities of the abundant life. He wrote this book called Over the Top. And in that book, he told a true story of a remarkable man named Charlie Wiedemeyer. Charlie Wiedemeyer was from Los Gatos, California. Actually, he was, I believe, born and raised in Hawaii, but he was in Los Gatos, California, where he was coaching high school football. And he coached high school football for that team in Los Gatos, and it was the only, he was the coach who took them to their only state championship. And one day, Zig Ziglar attended a practice session with Charlie and with the team there, and as the two of them were carrying on an extensive conversation, from the sidelines, coaches would come and approach them, and they would ask Charlie a question, something like, about defensive assignment. You know, how are we going to, on that play, get them to not do a trap block to thwart this? And so Charlie would, without hesitation, because he'd been watching intently this whole practice, even while the conversation was going on, he would spell out the specifics of what they should do to take care of that problem. And Zig and Charlie continued on with their conversation, and moments later, another coach would come by with another question, and once again, Charlie had the answer already ready for them. Now, the amazing thing about Charlie was the only parts of Charlie's body that he could move were his eyes, his eyebrows, and his mouth. See, Charlie Wiedemeyer suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease. The disease had physically affected Charlie so dramatically that he couldn't even make sound come out of his mouth. He could move his lips, but he couldn't speak. His wife, Lucy, was his interpreter. She would read his lips and effectively deliver whatever message that he had. So the coach would come and they'd ask him this question, and Charlie would mouth the words and his wife would interpret, and that's how they got their answers. Let me show you a picture of Charlie and his wife. That's Charlie Wiedemeyer. Not only did Charlie coach football, but he traveled and he spoke regularly to people in churches and schools and businesses and prisons. He and Lucy, I always think it's kind of interesting, Charlie and Lucy. He and Lucy shared their powerful message of faith, hope, courage, and love, and that never give up spirit that he exemplified. All of those, of course, are important ingredients to the abundant life, aren't they? Amen. In May of 1992, Charlie was honored as the Disabled American of the Year by President Bush. Charlie, you wouldn't know to look at him there, but Charlie, in his young days, was athlete not of the year, athlete of the decade for the state of Hawaii. For the 1960s, he was the best athlete they had in the whole state over a decade. He wrote an inspirational book. He called it Charlie's Victory. PBS made a documentary about his life. They even did a made-for-TV movie about Charlie. Think about this. He's a top motivational speaker in America at that time, and he couldn't even speak. So there's Charlie, his wife Lucy. I'm here to tell you, Charlie lived the abundant life. Charlie was a man of faith. 10 years ago, at the age of 64, Charlie passed away. He'd had some surgery and developed pneumonia in the process, and that ended his earthly life. But I'm telling you, Charlie lived the abundant life. Charlie lived that abundant life despite his circumstances. A lot of people in his circumstances would have given up. They would have found a nice little spot in an assisted living home, and they would have watched those high school football games on cable TV's channel access stuff. Charlie was going to live the abundant life. And I tell you, we don't know Charlie personally. We didn't know him when he was here. But we don't have to look very far to see other people who have far less than you or I, and yet they are living the abundant life. They have found a way to overcome their situation of poverty or physical limitations, child abuse or sexual abuse and other difficulties. They are living the abundant life because they discovered that life comes from Jesus Christ. It's the life that Jesus promised, and they believed him. Such a person is getting most out of life. They are living it to the fullest. They're not just merely existing. They're not just simply trying to make a living. You know, that is one of the sad things that we often see, especially those of us who are interested in people growing and maturing and finding this thing we call the abundant life. They get wrapped up in some little area. Sometimes it's just making a living. Sometimes it's some strange hobby, and they put all of their efforts and all of their time and all of their resources into something outside of what God really has for them, and they miss the abundant life. It's very easy to get wrapped up in things that really don't matter. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, he said, don't worry about life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You see, if we allow ourselves to remain preoccupied with the urgent, what seems to be urgent in our life, we're going to miss it. We won't be able to enjoy the abundant life. It's a mistake to allow the urgent to control you, because you're going to miss what is truly important. As you learn to see what life is all about, you'll begin to see others around you who are successful, who are living their abundant life. Should be you. These people quietly go about their lives, but their lives are full of meaning. Their lives are full of hope. There's happiness. There's satisfaction. There's vitality. There's peace of mind. They enjoy quality friendships. They have good family relations. You know, sometimes people would be so blessed if they could just get along with their own family. That's abundant living right there. They have good family relations. They're strong in faith in God. Their life becomes an adventure worth living. You know, Charlie had obstacles to overcome, but he decided life was worth living, that there was an adventure to be had. What about life is not the abundant life? In other words, we're talking about what the abundant life is. What is it not? Let me share a few things for you. Number one, the abundant life is not a life of comfort and ease. Thankfully, there are times of comfort. Thankfully, there are times when you can take it easy. Sometimes. But sometimes you need to go through the fire. You go through the fire in order that it can melt away some of the impurities that are inside us. God can use those difficulties to refine us. As someone who, in the last little bit of time, has been going through a little bit of fire, I tell you, it refines you. It brings out what's really there. And I can tell you this, for those of you who feel sorry for all that we've been going through, I'm living the abundant life. I'm finding joy and thankfulness in things that I'd often taken for granted. I'm seeing God work in ways that I've not seen in my life. This is the abundant life. Even though it's been hard in some ways, it's also been so enriching and so life-giving when you turn to God and you trust in Him. Man, oh man, I don't know how to say it any better. Don't feel sorry for us. Just rejoice with us. God is doing things in us. God is changing us. God is building us up in ways and strengthening us using muscles we hadn't had to use before. Amen. Now, you could also go the other way. You know, you could find a place to have your pity party, and you could find a place to fall down and cry and shake your fist at God and go the entire wrong way. But do you want the abundant life? It starts with trusting Him. It starts with, well, let's move on. Sometimes we need to go through the fire. God can use those difficulties. That's why James said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, consider that joy." The abundant life also is not dependent upon outside circumstances. It's not what happens to you that's nearly as important as to how you respond to it. I mean, just look around. Some of our greatest people in our country grew up in poverty and other extreme hardships. I almost cry every time I hear Pastor Ben talk about his school experiences. Poor guy got beat all the time. How did he ever get to be a happy guy? I don't understand. He found abundant life after the beatings. But see, the abundant life isn't dependent upon our circumstances. The abundant life is not glamorous, flashy, and outwardly impressive. I mean, think of Charlie. You're just walking along the street and you see him being wheeled into a restaurant, and I'm sure right then you're not thinking, wow, there is a guy. Man, he's really impressive. I wish I was more like him. He was living the abundant life, but you wouldn't have known it just from glancing at him. He wasn't glamorous. He wasn't flashy. He wasn't outwardly impressive. I tell you what, I am getting very, 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 the older I get, and again, it might be that grumpy old man thing, but the older I get, celebrities and sports heroes and all of that, they are just not worth the time and the trouble. Amen. Well, don't get me started. No, you don't want... Anyway. All of those glamorous, flashy, so-called impressive people are typically not living the life you think they're living. The abundant life is not that. It's kind of almost like that small gate in the narrow road that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7:13. The reason why so many people find it is because, well, it takes a little bit of effort just to even notice the abundant life. Because it's not got flashing lights and bells and whistles and all of that. The abundant life is not usually obtained quickly. You know, people can receive eternal life fairly quickly. It takes a little bit of faith, and voila, Jesus saves your soul. Hallelujah. But it's not that way with the abundant life. You know, it might take a few years before a person begins to experience the abundant life. Could take a number of years. You have to remember not to let that discourage you. We're all in the process. You know, a person who is 100 pounds overweight may take longer to reach their ideal weight than somebody who is 20 pounds overweight. But the good news is they both can achieve their goal. It's just going to take a little bit longer for that heavier person to get there. But that's all right. In the same way, the process for some people to obtain real evidence of the abundant life might take them a little longer because, you know, some people carry around more baggage than others. Some people have gone the wrong direction for so long that it's going to take a while to redirect for that rebirth and to regenerate life in a different way. Some baggage is also a little harder to turn loose. The point is this. A few years from now, Lord willing, we're going to be a few years older. Now, we can be a few years older and enjoying greater levels of abundant living, or we can be a few years older and still be stuck in the same old rut. See, we can make that choice. We can choose which way we're going to go. Now, if you don't feel like you're living the abundant life or that your experience is limited, the most important thing you can do right now is to agree with me, that Jesus, as he stated in John 10:10, he really has come so that I may enjoy life and that abundantly. Will you agree with me? See, if you've already said yes to Jesus, well, then you received eternal life. An abundant life can be yours. But it's a process. It's a process. But it can become a lifestyle. You can live it. Not because everything is sunshine and roses and lollipops and unicorns and all of the fun things that we love. I'm talking to Pastor Ben now. He's big on unicorns. No, and glitter. The abundant life can be yours, but it's a process. And it will become a lifestyle as you grow to be more like Jesus Christ. Amen? So whatever your circumstances, however and whatever level you find yourself in now, know this, there is more life for you than you have realized in the past. More life for you that you can reach for by faith, if you will. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Not only did you give us eternal life, you gave us abundant life. You gave us the resource, the grace, the power to live above our circumstances, to live above normal, bland human existence. You gave us purpose. You gave us a reason to do what we were created to do. And we thank you for it. And I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to fan the little spark, the little flame that has started here today for some people who have not really realized that this abundant life can be theirs. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are doing in all of us who believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining the Visible Church online.
Your gospel wide.